You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call here on SportsNap Radio. Ever since I was a young lad, I've always loved the Heisman Trophy, rooting for Doug Flutie to win in 1984. Well, 2020 has changed everything in sports. How has it affected the Heisman Trophy race? Patrick Stevens joins us from the Washington Post on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Patrick?
Hello, how you doing today?
Good. All right, going into 2020, before we get to the who's favorite now, going into 2020, we all knew college football was in danger, it was going to be affected by COVID in a lot of ways, conference-only games, etc. How did you envision the Heisman Trophy race would look like?
Well, coming into the season, I would have guessed it would end up a lot like what it usually has over the last 20 years. A quarterback has won 17 out of the last 20 seasons. And a quarterback on a BCS finalist or a playoff team has won it in 5 of the last 7 years. And for whatever anybody's saying right now, I still have a feeling that we might wind up seeing that sort of scenario play out with either a Mac Jones with Alabama or a Trevor Lawrence with Clemson ultimately. It's a long-term trend. Both of those things, you know, when you think about what are the non-quarterbacks that have won it in the last 20 years, Bush, Ingram, and Henry, that's
yep.
it. And the non-quarterback on a playoff team in the last 7 years, Henry and Lamar Jackson, that's it. So those are what the trends are. And to me, in a year where maybe there hasn't been an obvious clear-cut top guy, I mean, I thought Kyle Trask had kind of emerged as that. You know, maybe we see something different, but I'll tend to believe that we'll see a quarterback on one of those playoff teams when all is said and done.
All right, so were there any favorites, preseason favorites that were in jeopardy because of what their conference was doing? A favorite maybe out of the Pac-12, or maybe a favorite out of the Big Ten that where their schedule has been shortened?
Yeah, I think Justin Fields is probably the big loser in this when it comes to the shortened schedules. I think if you had seen Ohio State play a full season, especially with the way that they've played on offense so far, they haven't always been perfect on defense. If you look at the numbers that they put up offensively, even in a tight game against Indiana, or what became a tight game, the offense was on point. I think he's probably the guy that's probably been dinged the most, I think, and ultimately will probably be dinged the most for playing 6 games as opposed to the 10 or 11 for some of those guys in the ACC and the SEC.
What has always fascinated me with the Heisman Trophy is the way the voting breaks down in regions, guys who get a vote, they cover a certain conference, they cover guys more closely, but the goal in the end is to be on every ballot in some capacity. Is there one guy that is going to be on every ballot? Maybe not first, but definitely somewhere on someone's ballot all the way across the country.
That's a really good question, because when you start thinking about some of the guys this year, I mean, you know, you have 3 guys from Alabama, between Jones, between Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, that could very well split up the vote of people that are looking at Alabama in particular. And so if you take those guys out, the two that stand out as guys that could have a decent shot at winding up on a lot of ballots are Kyle Trask, assuming he has a decent showing in the SEC title game. Winning would obviously be of great value for him. And then Trevor Lawrence, the name that's been there pretty much since the start, and the guy that if Clemson goes ahead and wins the ACC and is back in the playoffs, it could turn out to be one of those lifetime achievement Heismans, as opposed to necessarily a single-year Heisman. We've seen those over the years at various times where a guy has put together an awesome career, and in a year where maybe there wasn't a clear-cut guy at the top, a guy that had the complete career ultimately got the nod. Not to knock what Trevor Lawrence has done this season, because he's been really good, but he also missed some time. He's somebody that if he had played a full season, if he hadn't missed those 2 games due to his COVID test, I think he probably would be a more clear-cut top guy at this point.
That's a great point. It was kind of leading me into the Trevor Lawrence issue, which is maybe this isn't his best year, but do voters tend to go, look, in the history of college football, what this kid has done at Clemson, I'd hate for him to leave without a Heisman, so this year is as good as any to give him a nod on the ballot?
Yeah, and you know, you think about all the amazing things that have happened over the course of the last few years, and I'm trying to think if there has been a Heisman winner at Clemson. I'm not coming up with one off the top of my head. You know, Deshaun Watson didn't win it, and so in some ways, there's a little bit of you know, paying attention to the program as well, given everything it's done. But I tend to think that when you look at what Lawrence has done over the course of his career, quarterback of a national championship team as a freshman, quarterback of a playoff team last year, and then he's certainly done nothing wrong this season to suggest that he is undeserving of that sort of an honor at this point. You know, you look at it, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, completing nearly 70% of his passes. Even if he did miss the 2 games and only played a quarter against the Citadel, there's really no knocking what he's been able to accomplish this season.
Yeah, Kyle Trask has had a phenomenal season, didn't have a very good game against LSU. How much do the voters want you to be excellent every week? Can you get a game where you're not so hot and still get this trophy?
I'm sorry, I'm struggling to hear you.
Sure. Kyle Trask has had a fantastic season, but he did not look good against LSU. Can you have a dud? Can you have a game where you're not so sharp, but you can still win this thing?
You know, Trask's numbers are so fabulous, especially for this season. I mean, to think about playing an all-SEC schedule and not even needing to get to the end of the season to break Danny Werfel's school record for touchdown passes and all that stuff. I think that if he had played a little bit better against LSU, it would be a little bit easier to make that call. And obviously, he has the opportunity against the excellent Alabama defense. Again, he's another guy that in a year where there maybe isn't an obvious, clear-cut, no doubt about it, top guy, like there was last year with Joe Burrow when all this was said and done, I don't think he's out of it by any stretch, but it sure would help if he put up a good showing Saturday night.
Patrick Stevens joins us, Washington Post, on our Progressive Guest Line as we talk Heisman Trophy. The Alabama question, you've got 3 candidates, as you mentioned, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, and, of course, Mac Jones at quarterback. There's voting. If you are to vote for one, if you're an SEC voter, I mean, guy that's covered the conference, even outside the conference, when you look at Alabama, how much does their chance of getting a clear-cut winner, how much is it affected by 3 candidates and people choosing from the 3?
Yeah, I do wonder about that. And I also kind of wonder, you know, are there voters that kind of made up their mind early on? Are there voters that are just checking in now? Are there voters that are swayed by what people are yapping about on TV? All those things. And so I think with all those different groups there might be inclined to vote for different people. Again, I keep going back to the whole quarterback on an elite team type of thing. And if the vote's going to coalesce around any one of those 3 guys, it's going to be Mac Jones.
So is that the favorite overall? Mac Jones is, if you were to handicap this thing, would it be Mac Jones at the top?
Again, I'm sorry.
No problem. Yeah, if you were to handicap the race, is it Mac Jones the clear favorite today, right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at some group of Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, and Kyle Trask probably being near the top of this thing.
All right, Patrick Stevens, Washington Post. Great stuff. I really appreciate your time. We were kind of trying to get a handle on all this stuff with COVID and the Heisman. You did a great job. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Patrick Stevens of the, again, Washington Post. So as I said earlier, again, I've always been fascinated with this award ever since I was a kid because I think it's one of the high honors of sports, right? There's like the Green Jacket and the Heisman is on that list of just these special awards. But beyond just giving it to the best college football player, I've always been fascinated by how you win it. And what you have to do to win it. And I've always said this. You've heard me say this a number of times when we're talking about the Heisman. It is very much like campaigning in a presidential race. When you go to Iowa, you give a different speech than when you go to California or when you go to New York or when you go to Wisconsin or wherever you go. You need to have that kind of resume in college football. It's not so much being impressive amongst the people that are watching you week in and week out. Do you go beyond where you're at so that somebody who covers the Pac-12 and they're totally involved in the Pac-12, they're watching Washington and Cal and Arizona and they cover that conference. And so they're at a game on Saturday. They can't see you play every single weekend. Do you box score politic your way into their mind when the ballot is being filled out? And that's how it was for a long time when college football games were very limited in terms of your access. So imagine yourself in the 80s, right? And you are covering UCLA football. That is your beat. So you are following the Bruins. You're on the road with the Bruins. You're writing about the Bruins. And somebody's doing such a great job at Penn State, but you don't get to watch Penn State. You're in hotel, organizing your notes, organizing your writing, getting ready for to cover whatever UCL is playing. Maybe you're watching them in the hotel lobby, maybe, but you're not studying them. So what you do is you kind of go through the box score. You have to impress enough in that box score to be on the ballot, because the key is to get on all the ballots. So the key is to get, hey, you may not be watching me, but man, if I could get a third place vote from you, guy in Oregon, that would really help my chances here at Alabama. And that's why Tim Tebow went to 3 finals appearances. He went to New York 3 times in his career. Because even though Tim Tebow would have years where they weren't as good as his Heisman Trophy year, he was still good enough that he just leaked into the nation's consciousness because he was that big of a superstar in college football. That's why Trevor Lawrence could be the favorite to win this thing, for 2 factors. Now, he doesn't have the same numbers as Mac Jones. Mac Jones has just been brilliant this year for Alabama, and Alabama is likely going to be the national champion, but we don't know. But Trevor Lawrence might be a guy that just appears on every ballot, and that might be enough. Right? So you're a guy in Wisconsin, and Trevor Lawrence, you're looking at your list, and you're like, well, all right, I guess I like Justin Fields. I saw him play, and yep, Trevor Lawrence. All right, I like Mac Jones, I like Justin Fields, and I like Trevor Lawrence. And that might just be enough to get him this trophy. But what Patrick said is important. We talk about the big picture in sports sometimes, right? We talk about so-and-so never played for a championship, so-and-so never won an MVP, so-and-so. Trevor Lawrence came to college football with a bomb. I mean, he exploded at Clemson. As soon as he got the starting job, he led them to a national championship. He has played in another national championship game. He is the epitome of a laboratory quarterback. He does all the things right. He's the Andrew Luck of playing football. He's the sure bet NFL protege guy coming into this league and should be successful based on his talent. Does he deserve a Heisman Trophy just because? Right? Peyton Manning never got one. Peyton Manning never won one. And Peyton Manning had a fantastic college career where he stayed his senior year at Tennessee. But are we at the mindset with Trevor Lawrence that, my God, he won a national title? Peyton Manning never won a national title. T. Martin did. Peyton Manning did not. Trevor Lawrence played for a national championship and lost. Trevor Lawrence won a national championship beating Alabama and beating them good. And now he's got Clemson in a position where they could go back to the playoff and win a national title. And the only game they lost this year is not his fault. He might just be the kind of the undercard favorite based on the career of, rather than 2020, more of a career. Whereas Mac Jones probably deserves it for 2020 based on his numbers and statistics. It's not about the best and then the best is it. It is also about a little bit of politics. How do you look to people outside your region? How are you being perceived in places where they don't really pay attention to what you're doing? You're not on the front of the mind of people out west, in the Northeast, in the Midwest. They know you. They know you're doing good things, but that's ACC football. Fascinating to see where this goes. All right, it's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.